Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Spark. This is going to be a fascinating episode today because we will be talking to Jessie Craik. She's Senior Marketing Manager at Culver Franchising System. Culver's restaurant is famous for many things, including Butterburgers and, of course, the best frozen custard ever, but also for taking a stand on behalf of our farmers. And if you've listened in on Spark before, you know I'm involved in the National Agri-Marketing Association, which is where last September I had a chance to hear Jessie speak out on ag advocacy on behalf of Culver. So welcome, Jessie, to our show today. Why don't we kick this off with you telling us a little bit about your current role at Culver's and about Culver's, and then share what you think is an ideal work day.
Sure. Thank you again for having me on here. I'm really excited to talk a little bit more about Culver's and on how, you know, my role gets involved with agriculture. So like you said, I'm a senior marketing manager, but I do wear quite a few hats around here. I'm directly responsible for Culver's digital marketing. So I'm involved in a lot of projects on Culver's website, which involves Culver's.com and the Culver's app. So we have an app for that. You can download the Culver's app in the iTunes or Google Play Store and find out where your favorite flavors are at, get directions to your nearest location, and stay up to date with all of the news and events we have in the My Culver's portal. I oversee all of that. We also have a large following both on email and text marketing and then on our social media channels. So I work really closely with our social and interactive specialist. She helps on all of the day-to-day on that, but we're really great collaborating as a team to make sure that all of the things that we're doing across all of those digital channels are working cohesively with what we're doing in restaurant as well. So, you know, when we're planning out the different campaigns throughout the year and what are the products that are going to be promoted during a 6 or 10 week campaign, you know, how does that feature, you know, what's in restaurant on the menu boards to what the messages might be on the table stand inserts to what's going in the DVD loop that the restaurants may be playing to what is the messaging about we're sending out on email, what are the coupon offers that are going to be offered on our text messaging platform, and then how does that play into the daily content we're doing on social media. It's a really creative, collaborative environment that we're working in. I'm also really glad to be part of a cross-department team so that, you know, we get together at least on a campaign-by-campaign basis, and we work with IT to make sure that the things we're promoting in restaurant and coupons and digitally are showing up in the point of sale. So when a guest comes in, you know, that offer or coupon can be redeemed really seamlessly. We're also talking with the supply chain folks. So whatever we're putting on the cover of that FSI or freestanding insert that gets mailed out to millions and millions of homes, that we've got in touch with the distribution folks, and they know that, you know, cheese curds are really going to be hot for the month of October when we celebrate National Cheese Curd Day. It's a fun, fast-paced, exciting environment that we work in, and also love to be involved with some of the products that we get to test and new releases and all of that. I really think, you know, an ideal day for me not only involves, you know, sitting and participating in those meetings with our team and with our agency, but also getting to touch base one-on-one with the 650-plus franchise owners that we have. So each one of those restaurants for Culver's are individually owned and operated, and, you know, I have the great pleasure of working directly with some of them on what their local restaurant marketing is going to be, as well as how they can execute on email and text messaging at their local restaurant as well. That's a whole lot about kind of what I do and a day in the life. It changes every day with every season, and it's we're working two campaigns out. So, you know, as we're going into winter here, that campaign is already wrapped up and ready to roll, and we're working on New Year and Lent for 2018.
Wow. Do you ever sleep? That is an astonishing amount of stuff to be responsible for.
Yes, and, you know, even with all of those things that I get to do on a daily basis, you know, on the Culver's business, you know, my reason for being here is working at the support center to support our franchisees. I've also had the immense pleasure of working on the Thank You Farmers Cause Marketing Initiative, which you got to hear me speak about at the NAMA conference earlier this month. It's really exciting to be able to kind of take a step aside from the digital marketing things that I'm so involved with in technology, and help Culver's focus on how we give back and connecting restaurants and local FFA chapters to raise funds to promote the future of agriculture education.
Well, I think a lot of our audience are FFA kids, so I think it's great that you're reaching out directly, and they're probably even really familiar with that campaign because it's been ongoing, hasn't it? That's not something that's just seasonal. That's an ongoing one.
Absolutely. So that's something that runs throughout the year. I actually have a whole separate calendar for all of the agriculture and Thank You Farmer related events. You know, it starts really for us in February, kicking off with National FFA Week. And that's when we released our National FFA Essay Contest. And yesterday I was down at the National FFA Convention. We were able to do a meet and greet with the three chapters who had winning essay writers. One of the chapters was from Denver City, Texas, and the advisor has been teaching there for 20 years, and this is the first time he's ever brought a team of kids to national convention. So
oh, wow.
That's really inspiring to us to want to continue with all of the things we're doing to benefit FFA and those local chapters individually, because, you know, for those six students and members who have never been to convention before, for those two advisors who had never been to a national convention before, I know it's a really inspiring and hopefully life-changing event for them.
So do you know what the attendance was this year?
At the first general session, which I was able to attend yesterday afternoon, they had 59,000 registered attendees. And I know throughout the week that continues to grow, that they're anticipating 60,000 or more attending that convention in Indianapolis this week.
Well, that is nothing short of astonishing. And
no.
what a great opportunity for those kids. So let's take a little bit of a look backwards, and just to give everybody some perspective on what your life was like and how you ended up where you are, can you kind of talk to us a little bit about your early life and your education and how that kind of prepared you for where you are now?
I started going to school in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin, which is probably known as more of a water park capital of the world and a tourist destination, but I grew up on a little hobby farm about 15 miles out of town, and you know, that's really where I think I got my start. And I was, you know, one of those farm kids. We had a hobby farm with horses, and we had dogs and goats and a few cattle every now and then. So knew what growing up on the farm life was like, but also, you know, going to school with kids of all demographics and ages, and then seeing the population of our community, you know, really blossom in the summer, and worked some of those typical tourist-type jobs where I say I got my start in customer service. Working at Noah's Ark, working downtown at one of the fudge companies, and really getting to experience what you know, customer service is all about. So that's definitely, you know, where I got my start in my career. But I think education has definitely been something that's been key for me all along. I worked on getting scholarships my senior year, and really didn't know exactly what I wanted to do after high school. But went my first 2 years at UW-Baraboo. At their UW-Madison affiliate college, and got an associate's degree, and started working more in the IT field. And I was working for the first ever True Value Superstore in America. So it was a 1,000-square-foot retail store, the first one that the True Value chain had ever put up in Little Reedsburg, Wisconsin. And at 20 years of age, I was running their entire, I was their system administrator. So I was responsible for the point of sale and the inventory and the payables, and really, you know, had read the manuals and taken them home and taken a vested interest in it. So I took kind of a non-traditional approach to getting my bachelor's degree, in that after I had transitioned away from that position, I started with an engineering and surveying and architecture firm right there in Reedsburg, and did night school classes. And I had promised my dad that I would fulfill my dream of getting my bachelor's degree, and before I got married, and was able to do that. I really, I think, appreciated coming back and going to school. I got my bachelor's of business administration through Cardinal Stritch University, and, you know, didn't take the typical approach to move away from home and go to school, but just knew that education was something that absolutely opens doors for people, and something that you need to have on your resume. So, you know, took that full, you know, working approach, and went did the night school classes. But I really felt like education, both in high school as well as college, prepared me for where I am now in my career.
Talk a little bit about the IT field, to switch from that over to kind of the business administration administration. It's probably kind of a cool combination of things, but seems a little unusual to transition from that to business.
I love technology and I love learning about new programs and just trying things out. So while I was going to UW-Baraboo, I actually tried my hand at a little bit of programming and nothing sophisticated by any means, but you know, maybe just enough to pique my interest and want to continue learning in that aspect. And just it seems like in the technology space, sometimes people are always afraid that they're going to break something, and I've never been able, afraid to break anything. And I think one of the best life advice I got was when I was going to school at UW-Baraboo, I was working for the school district of Baraboo, and the person who was my supervisor there, his best advice to me was do no harm. If you think that you can help a situation, please, you know, go ahead and do it until you think that you might do harm, and then, you know, walk away and ask for further expertise. So I've always kind of held that in the back of my mind, that as long as I feel confident in my abilities and I know I'm not going to break anything, that's just fine, but I'm never afraid to try something or to Google an answer and try to figure it out on my own. And, you know, that's been something that's always kind of helped move me forward in this career. And looking for that business administration degree really rounded out all of my business skills. So, you know, I'd worked in the IT field and had that interest in technology, but also once I got working at the engineering and architecture firm, was able to experience more of marketing and, you know, understanding all of the business practices that go into that with, you know, business development, the RFP process. So, you know, being able to answer questions for people who a lot of times when they sit on these town and city boards for a municipal type project with the engineering projects we were bidding on, you know, they're laymen and they don't always understand those engineering and technical terms. So, you know, breaking that down and having the ability to do good writing make something like a wastewater treatment plant something interesting to read about was where I felt like I really was able to round that out with that degree.
Well, you're quite accomplished if you could make that sound interesting. Actually, I was thinking about the fact that you started out with this customer service background and then to go into IT, because oftentimes those two things aren't necessarily correlated. So it probably was a great background to then pull you in through the engineering and architecture firm.
Yeah, I imagine when they do a Briggs-Myers test on me, I will be kind of a juxtaposition of all of those different personality traits. But definitely love the people aspect of things, but love digging in on that technology side as well. And some of my favorite coworkers here are in the IT team as we, you know, work together on a lot of those digital initiatives like mobile banner ads and things like that.
That's pretty core to actually making marketing happen these days.
Yeah.
You've got to have the technology to pull it off. So can you, as you're kind of looking back and reflecting on that, can you describe any either pivotal events or decisions that you made that really had a dramatic change in the course of your life?
I was actually one day short of 10 years in my career at the engineering and architecture firm. We had saw a lot of changes there. They were about 50% private projects with private developers for subdivisions and things like that, as well as 50% public with some of the municipal projects that we were working on. And in the economic downturn in 2008, you know, we were experiencing 4 years of salary cuts. We were an employee-owned company, and while I loved all of my coworkers there, I had this opportunity with Culver's that was brought to me, and I'd gone through the interview process, and it was just so hard to leave a place where, you know, I worked 5 minutes from my house, making that jump to Culver's in 2011 was definitely a pivotal event for me, because it not only broadened my horizons allowed me to experience much more in the marketing and technology fields that I work in now, but you know, I never thought I would have the opportunity to work on a cause marketing campaign like the Thank You Farmers campaign, and it's something that has brought my public speaking as well as my networking and interaction with people across many different industries to a whole new realm. So I really credit my start at Culver's. And, you know, when the opportunity was presented, it was for digital marketing, which I felt like married my backgrounds in IT and business really, really well.
Made perfectly for you. Along the way, and you're looking back kind of as you were developing, was there anybody that kind of stood out to you as someone who either mentored you or really supported you in your life or your career?
You know, I don't know that I can point to maybe a single individual in that anyone specifically had mentored me. I've had a lot of awesome bosses over my career. I know we recently got a brand new VP of marketing here at Culver's, and she comes from more of a food service as well as retail background, but she'd also worked in insurance, and it's been a great benefit to, I think, everyone on our team to be able to sit at the table with a powerful and influential woman like that who comes from another industry and is leading our team at Culver's. So I can, you know, probably point to little pieces along the way, definitely think back to that boss that I had at the Baraboo School District, you know, who really empowered me to go out and do the best that I could do, but also bosses that I had at that True Value Superstore that saw me taking home manuals and saw me making recommendations as a 20-year-old college student and offered me a full-time position to do system administration for the largest True Value Superstore in America. So just, you know, those people along the way who've really believed in me and let me kind of go on with my crazy ideas and who weren't afraid to let me fail, I think are really a credit to where I am today.
Oh, I think that's actually probably a really important piece of it if you find people who allow that those little fails along the way so you can pick yourself up and dust yourself off. That makes a big difference.
Absolutely. They're always hard learning experiences, but ones that that you'll never forget. Part of that experience is learning how to pick yourself back up and try it again.
Along those lines, what do you think one of your biggest obstacles has been, and can you talk about maybe how you may have overcome it?
I think with sort of that analytical brain that I have sometimes, I spend a lot of time overanalyzing the different projects that I'm trying to work on, or maybe overanalyzing even conversations that I've had with coworkers on trying to navigate some of those, you know, inter-office situations as we have, you know, working with a large cross-department team, working with franchisees who maybe I don't get to see face-to-face because they're out in Utah or down in Texas, and as you're reading an email, you know, trying to interpret some of those things. So I think always trying to stay two steps ahead of the game is one of my biggest challenges. I have to really learn to step back and live in the moment and continue to question or inquire, always trying to, you know, just project kindness in the emails and communications that I'm sending out, and then you know, when you get responses and trying to understand where people are coming from, but not getting too stuck in overanalyzing, and sometimes just picking up the phone and asking someone to clarify something has probably been a big help to me as I've learned to overcome that and not wanting to shy away from having those tough conversations with people when they need to happen.
If you've got a background in IT, picking up the phone is not necessarily the approach that you would always take, because there's so many other ways you can communicate that aren't
exactly in this day and age of technology, which obviously I'm a big proponent of. There's still something to be said for taking a walk down the stairs or across the office to speak with a coworker, you know, as you're trying to dig in on a challenging project, or you know, trying to see if you can pick up a phone when you're talking with someone who's maybe many states away to see if you can come to a better understanding verbally than you can through written.
That is so true. So have you ever been a mentor for anyone, or have you ever been mentored? And maybe you can talk a little bit about what you might have learned from that experience.
Sure. I've had a great experience over the past few years here at Culver's having interns. We have a summer intern program. And what's really neat about that is because, you know, Culver's has over 20,000 team members that work for those individually owned and operated franchises. So a lot of times the interns that come here to the support center in Prairie du Sac, Wisconsin, are team members that work in Culver's restaurants. And it's really neat, particularly the intern that I had this summer, her name was Kendall, started at Culver's her very first job, and it's her favorite place to work. Her brother always works there, and we talk about at Culver's how we kind of bleed blue, and Kendall is an amazing example of that. She wants to go into marketing, and she's going to UW La Crosse this year, and will finish her schooling next year. So it's really neat to have someone come in who's got that background of the restaurant and knows, you know, how Culver's operates already, and then get to show them maybe a little bit different side of the business, as well as expose her to, you know, different networking events that we go to in Madison. And she had never really been exposed to much with the Thank You Farmer program. So she went with me to the Wisconsin State FFA convention, and she helped hand out free scoops to people who were interacting with us at the booth. And, you know, it's just really great to see those students who identify with Kendall, because, you know, she's a young lady not far in age from them, experiencing many of the things that they have. And she could make connections with them, as she had been involved with DECA, which is very similar to FFA. And it was just really neat to, again, see her expand her horizons, but be able to take that real-life experience that she's had in the restaurant and apply that to the projects she was working on with me.
So getting out of the restaurant and kind of feeling a little bit like I can understand maybe what a career path would be and how networking might be beneficial.
Exactly. You know? It's a good reminder to me as well. So we've got what we call restaurant appreciation a week or month, and I know we've changed that throughout the years here, but everyone who starts working here at the Culver Support Center, even if they have a background in the restaurant industry, they spend a whole week in the restaurant, working in the restaurant. They go through the same kind of training plan that a brand new employee would do, and then they spend a week, you know, learning how everything works in the restaurant, from opening to closing to working on the buns or the grill or the cashier position. And I'll tell you, you know, it's very humbling. Even once a year when I go out to work my 4 hours in the restaurant, to see these younger folks just absolutely running circles around me, because I'm not as confident in those tasks that they do on a day-to-day basis. And I think it was kind of the opposite there for Kendall, as she was able to come in and help us out on things, but we would really rely on her expertise of, like, how would this, you know, perform in the restaurant on a daily basis.
And thinking about what you experienced there in working with Kendall, maybe you can share some advice for the young women on our podcast about their upcoming careers and their education choices.
Going back to where I feel that education is absolutely key for opening doors, I've always jumped at the opportunity to go to training classes, earn certifications. You know, I worked really, really hard to go through night school to get my degree, and I just really feel that, you know, that's education is something no one can ever take away from you. And being opening to learning new things, even if they're a little bit outside of, you know, where you think your track in life might go. I certainly could have pursued an information technology degree and really kept myself there. But I was glad that I broadened my horizons to business, because I felt like it made me a well-rounded person. And being able to go into marketing with a technology focus, you know, was a perfect fit for me. But I think there was a couple of different paths that I could have absolutely gone down there. So that's my biggest piece of advice, is whether you take a traditional role in, you know, going through college, you know, in 4 or 5 years and getting that degree and pursuing internships and then going out into the working world, or, you know, finding another way to make it work, whether it's online or going back to school as an adult, you know, having that education is just what I feel to be really crucial for getting that on your resume, having that open doors for you, and then going through the process and wowing them with your smile and your personality when you get into the interview and showing them, you know, what you know. But really, if they need to read that on paper to even get you through the interview process, that's something that's really key.
So I think that's really reassuring to kids that are in high school, because I think for a lot of the ones that I talk to, that next step in education seems so overwhelming. And to hear that you went through a bit of a non-traditional route for it, but just stuck with it and gutted it out and did it alongside your working career, I think is just a great example of how there are a lot of different ways you can get through that next phase. You just have to make sure you get through it.
The loans are just, it's incredible. I, you know, paid for my first 2 years at UW-Baraboo completely on scholarships without any debt, and that was a great feeling. And then to go into the working world and start getting that full-time paycheck, I felt like there was no way that I could walk away from that to go back to school full-time. You know, so I did the non-traditional route, which I will admit is really expensive. I'm still paying off those loans today, but I know that I wouldn't be where I am in my career if I hadn't done that. Grateful for those opportunities, grateful for the grants and scholarships that I had that got me started, and you know, always looking for those opportunities, I think is another great benefit. There are scholarship opportunities that Culver's team members can get because they work at Culver's. They can apply for scholarships, and that's something that Kendall had mentioned. You know, she's been the recipient of a Culver scholarship the last few years, and that's really helped her out. So, you know, looking for those opportunities and knowing that those loans are definitely intimidating as you're signing on the bottom line, but definitely definitely beneficial as you get into the working world.
Well, I did not know that about Culver's, that they did those scholarships. So I feel like the more I learned about Culver's from talking to you, the more I see why people bleed blue. Let's switch gears a little bit. And if you would kind of talk about what you're most concerned about within your sphere of influence. So what you're seeing out there in the industry and what really keeps you up at night.
Some of the things that definitely keep me up at night as I've gotten more involved in advocating for agriculture is dispelling myths and not having people fear their food. And I think that's one thing that most of the people on my team know, that when I get revved up about stuff and I see some of the advertising that's happening out there, what, you know, I've heard some in the industry refer to as fear marketing, you know, non-GMO labels being placed on products that don't have anything to do with GMOs, not really helping with the education aspect of consumers that are out there. And I think that's probably one of my biggest fears on what keeps me up at night, is that I'm really proud of the tactics that Culver's has implemented with showing, you know, a point of gratitude towards all farmers. And, you know, from large size operations to smaller farms, we know that they're all family owned. 97% of the farms across the United States are family owned farms, whether they're larger or smaller. And, you know, to be able to educate the general consumer about that in a way that allows us to stay competitive in the restaurant industry is, you know, something that I'm proud of how Culver's has approached it, but I would love other food companies and restaurants to take that approach as well.
That is, I think, a concern of our audience, and it's sure a concern of mine too, and a growing one. Just as we're seeing so many strange things, I just read an article yesterday about meat being grown in a lab, and that Cargill is actually putting money behind that. So even some of our biggest people you would think would be advocating for traditional agriculture are actually investing in alternatives. So it's an interesting world we live in, and that misinformation, boy, you're exactly right about that. So frustrating that our consumers are afraid.
It's so amazing, you know, that we can live in a place where people have choices. You know, that if they want to purchase all organic, or if they want to try to live a diet free of gluten because they feel that that's best for themselves or for their family, or if they, you know, truly do have an issue like celiacs where they have to, that they have choices. And I just think, you know, it's amazing to be able to walk into a Starbucks and all of the different types of non-dairy, you know, things that you can get added to your fancy coffee. It's amazing that we live in a place that has those different alternatives. I hope that we continue to look at technology in the agriculture industry as we have in science and technology, how the advancements there are good for everyone, and they're good for farming as well. I truly do believe, with all of the conversations I've been able to have with friends and family and people affiliated with Culver's, as they are entrusted to grow the food that we eat, that they're stewards of the land and that they're doing the best things that they would do for their family as well. And as we go out and we talk about the Thank You Farmer program, we talk with local farmers and ranchers, you know, getting them to be able to tell their story, because I think the general consumer feels that that is more accurate when they're hearing it right from the mouth of the person who is telling that story.
We, I think, are all grateful for the work that you guys are doing, and it takes work and effort on a lot of fronts. And so glad to have you on the team, Jesse, to have Culver's behind this effort, because it's going to take a lot of us. One question I wanted to ask you was, and you're very, very new in your career, so I don't want you to even think about it, would be what it would be like at the end of your career, but if I was to ask one of your coworkers, you know, what do you think about Jesse? What would you hope that those people would say about you?
I know for sure that they would say today that they know I'm passionate about agriculture, but I think at the end of my career, once I've kind of stepped away, I hope that they always remember me as being kind. And that's really what I would want my legacy in my career as well as in my personal life to be known for, that I'm a kind and compassionate person, and that I try to understand the stories and perspective from all different sides. That's probably a good thing to strive for, both in personal and career perspective.
I completely agree. That's an awesome thing. My last question for you, I think, although sometimes I come up with extra ones, what is a question that nobody asks you, or that you wish I would have asked you and that you have a great answer to?
That's a really tough one. I'm a storyteller, and I absolutely love telling stories. I think whether that's personal or professional, I definitely get sidetracked in my day-to-day, you know, as I'm talking with people and trying to find a common theme with them and having stories, you know, from all of the different experiences that I've gotten. A question I probably don't get asked very often is just how I kind of capture all of those things. And I think the best way that I can answer that is just in the experiences that I've had with Culver's and outside of Culver's, is to kind of share those stories and make those experiences relatable to people. So that's probably the best way I can answer that.
Wonderful. Well, I like that. That is my set of questions for you, Jesse. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our group?
I definitely want to, again, thank you for the opportunity. I was really amazed at the outpouring of support that I experienced after the NAMA conference. Definitely wanting to attend more industry events like that. It's been eye-opening for me, you know, like I said, a girl that grew up 15 miles outside of Wisconsin Dells, to ever think that I would be a keynote speaker at any type of conference, let alone, you know, in front of peers and people that I respect very much. So I just am so grateful for the opportunities that I've been afforded, and loved your questions about, you know, passing that on to the next generation. And I'm so inspired when I meet young people like the essay writers that we met yesterday at the FFA convention that had won prizes and scholarships for their teams to be able to come to national convention and want to pass along my passion for advocating for agriculture to them as well, because whether or not they go into a production agriculture career or they just become leaders within the career field that they choose, wanting them to know that Culver supports them and has their backs.
That's so true. Those advocates, we need them in all branches of agriculture. So for you to plant those little seeds, and I would say that you actually have a really great gift in storytelling and the ability to communicate that. You're just the absolutely perfect person for Culver's to have out there on behalf of our farmers. So if you're spreading that to those, that whole group of FFA kids, that's great for our whole industry for the future.
Well, you know, as we say at Culver's, I'll say that's my pleasure. And again, I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thank you, Jesse. I really appreciate your time today and sharing that great advice, especially the advice about your education and the fact that nobody can take that away from you. That's a wonderful way to think about that, the next step in the lives of our young audience. And I really, really appreciate your time. That wraps up this episode of Spark. And we thank our audience for listening. And Jesse, thank you for your time.
Thanks again.